And John,
let's have a bit of space. I need room. I get told off if I stand at the side because I interfere with the speakers. Okay, great to be with you again. As you know, just to remind you, we're going through a series being Kingdom People. Dave started off a couple of weeks back saying, remember, we're on a journey. You know, we've got earth and there's heaven and there's a stick man somewhere in between, but we're on this journey. But we are actually Kingdom People. We love being in the world, but we're not of the world. God called us for a different purpose, to bring honour and glory to his name. And then last week, you remember, Phil spoke, and he spoke about us being an inclusive people. We include everyone. No one's excluded from the Church of God. And as inclusive people, you know, we're multi-age, multicultural, multi-ability. He spoke about misfits and about Barnum and that museum. Even though the video didn't work, he just explained it so well. But just how all are inclusive. And I also said that inclusive people love outsiders. So this week, we're just going to move on slightly. And we're going to talk about Kingdom people are gifted people. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of people, just ordinary people, not necessarily Kingdom people, but when I think about gifted people, what comes to mind? If anything like me, it's something like, that shouldn't have happened, something like someone who's a teacher, someone who's educated, or maybe someone who is artistic. Some people are gifted musically, and they're brilliant at this. And some people maybe are authors or gifted in writing. And other gifted people you might think of might be designers or craftsmen and craftswomen. We go to these craft shows and you'll see just amazing things that people have done. I know that at the Beacon Church when I was there, there's one particular guy, dear friend, Dr. Andy Teo. His mum and dad go to the Farnham Church. There is a link. So Dr. Andy Teo, and he just seemed to ooze all sorts of gifts. So he's not only a GP and a doctor and really good at it, but he was a musician. So he would play a keyboard, he would play the guitar, didn't bother learning to read music, didn't need to. You just sing a song and he would just pick it up brilliantly. Not just brilliantly, really very, very gifted. Lead worship beautifully. And then he thought, I might take up some photography. And he did photography so, so well. People would ask him to be a photographer at their wedding and so on. I used to look at this and I could get quite envious, quite jealous. Yes, I know you'd be shocked at that, I know, but I did. I said, wow, look at this. And then, so I look at all these gifted people, and then I think, and then there's me. Is that you this morning? You know, we think, I don't have any particular gifting. I'm just me, I'm just ordinary. I am just me. You know what, Jesus says different. Because in John 14, we're not clicking for some reason. In John 14 says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And that's what Jesus says. Now, do we really believe this? We look at this and think, oh, okay, yeah, I can see that for others. Jesus says you'll do even greater things than these. Greater than what I've done. You think, hang on a minute. I can't do great. Jesus said you'll do greater things than these. You will. Not so, you will. Alright? That's for you and me. In Matthew chapter 7, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? These are what God does. And again, Jesus is talking about you and me. You and me receiving good gifts. So, my first point is, we can expect God to give us spiritual gifts. You can expect that. Because God says he's going to do it. So we can expect God to give us spiritual gifts. I don't know, many, many years ago, of course, probably the last century, actually, when I was a youth leader, Jill and I, we were youth leaders. It would have been last century, wouldn't it? Yes, it was. Wake up, John. And it was a very church we was at, shortly after, a few years after we'd been born again, really felt we wanted to help the youth. So we were involved in youth work. And Jill and I, we were just teaching one Friday evening, I think it was, teenagers. And we must have touched somehow on the whole issue of healing. And we said how God heals and one thing and another. Now, if you're with teenagers, you can rely on they're going to challenge you and they're going to be truthful. Right? They're going to be absolutely truthful most of the time. So this young lady stands up and says, if you say God heals, God hears our prayers, then you pray over me for my hearing to be restored. She was deaf in one ear. So we couldn't say, we'll wait. So Jill and I stand up. We've never done it before. Right, this teenager asks, so we stand up and we pray for this teenage girl. And after they finished praying, she says, nothing's happened. That didn't work then, did it? So that really boosts your faith, doesn't it? You know? So we go home and, Lord, was it me? Was it the wrong... Anyway, cut long story short, we arrived church Sunday morning. Now, unlike this church, not many teenagers then went to church Sunday morning. They were still in bed. This particular young lady came to church and she saw us afterwards. And we said to her about it, and she said, I woke up this morning and I heard such a noise. She said, normally, I take my hearing aid, I just lay it on my good ear, and so my bad ear, is everything silent. And I could understand, she says, but I realised, I have laid on it as I normally hear, and I could hear all this sound. She says, God has healed me. It wasn't that night. Expect God to give us gifts. Now, Jill and I, we were shocked. We shouldn't have been. We prayed for healing and it happened. We think, wow. So, God does give good gifts. Now then, as we have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read this. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, over the years, I know that some have said that you can... This isn't working, it doesn't matter. Fine, okay. Some would say you can split the gifts into three different types. The first one is to say, so that'd be things like prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Another section would be to do, things like healing, miraculous powers and faith. And then the third group, to know, discerning spirits, message of wisdom and the message of knowledge. Now, I'm not against this. But whilst it could be helpful to some people, I do raise a note of caution, because when we attempt to organise or try to organise the Holy Spirit into neat little sections or areas, we're in danger of imposing limits. That's why I say I just raise a note of caution. Because we can never, ever limit the Holy Spirit. So what we see here, we see another list of gifts. This is we've done Corinthians 12, this is now Romans 12. There's a few more here. There would be. Okay. In Romans 12, believe me, there is another. Yeah, if we go on to Romans, please. There we are. Romans 12 says we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in accordance with his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, as we look at these two lists, we see that they are quite different. Thank you. Right, okay. Have we moved on? Okay, that's it. Yes, thank you. So in the Corinthians passage, we see there's a message of wisdom, there's a message of knowledge, there's faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguish between spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpreting tongues. And in Romans, we have prophesying again, and then there's serving, there's teaching, there's encouraging. There's contributing to the needs of others. There's leadership and there's mercy. When I look at this, I think also, excuse me, of the passage in Joel chapter 2 and 28, and where it says, afterwards I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons will prophesy, so we have prophecy again. Your old men will dream dreams. Do you dream dreams or do you have visions, Dave? And your young men will see visions. You have visions, I have dreams. Okay. Okay, so again in Joel it speaks about dreams and visions, also about prophecy. Now, Friday evening we had a prayer meeting and I was privileged to have it at our house. Now, many of you were there. It was an amazing time. We met together to pray and God met with us magnificently. I mean magnificently. You ask any of the people who went. There were words of knowledge. There were pictures shared. There were visions shared. And amongst us, I also invited one of my neighbours to come along. So she just happened to pop along and Joel came out with this amazing word and says, and just gave this word, and the lady says, I don't relate to that. As she unfolded her story, it was very clear what Joel brought was absolutely spot on. And so we prayed into that situation, and we prayed for her, we prayed for other people down the street. They got blessed, even if they weren't there. Fine. As a gentleman, I escorted this lady to a house just a few doors away. So on the way home, she says, that was an amazing spiritual evening. I had such a spiritual encounter. That's what you do when you get together and you operate in the gifts of the Spirit. You bring the very presence of God. You bring the power of God. That's what happens with kingdom gifted people. That's what happens when you meet together. Steve brought, I don't know how many words, absolutely breathtaking stuff. It was faith building stuff. It was brilliant. Superb. Many others did also. So we know there's many, many gifts. I also believe there's other gifts also. I think things like hospitality, I'd say is a gift. Administration is definitely a gift. It's something I haven't got. And I'm grateful for administrators in the church and other areas who serve us so well. It really is a gift. Now you get a spirit-filled administrator and they're brilliant. Because administrators, I don't know if you've met them, normally they're just focused on the job and that is it. They are often, without being too rude, don't be too rude, John, they are insensitive to people because they're focused on the job. You get a spirit-filled administrator, they do the job brilliantly, but they're also so sensitive to others. No, that can wait because of this. And they're just fantastic. We need spirit-filled administrators. Okay. Now then, I do believe if God chose to, he could choose sneezing to demolish walls. That's what I'm saying. Let us never, ever limit God in any way whatsoever. Years ago, those of you remember, John Wimber just had this amazing presence of God about him. You'd go to a conference and he would speak really, really fantastic. And then he'd often end up and he'd just go and sit at the keyboard and he would just play. And he would say, as he's playing, he would be praying, Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Holy Spirit, come and move. Holy Spirit, release your gifts. And the Holy Spirit came down. And I'm talking hundreds and often thousands would be greatly affected. Just an amazing gift that he had in both preaching, speaking, healing, and bringing the very presence of God into a meeting. It was just fantastic. You think of people like Martin and Jenny. You think what they do in restoring relationships. What are they doing? Binding up the brokenhearted. It's a wonderful gift. God's given his gifts to us. He gives his gift to his kingdom people, you and me. When I think about the gifts, I'm thinking about one particular area, faith. You think, okay, we all have a measure of faith. Yes, we do. Some people have a gift of faith. And while thinking about this, my mind went back to Muller. I don't know if you're aware, but George Muller, born in 1805, comes to England and he just has just a deep, deep longing for street children. Children they're orphaned. And this is in Bristol, so just down the road from here, you get a whole history of it. Okay? He built 5 orphanages. He cared for in the region of 10,000 orphans over the years. 10,000. This man starts off. Let me just read this little section. Muller, George Muller, never made requests for financial support, nor did he go into debt. Even though the 5 homes cost more than £100,000 to build. That's in the 1800s. It's millions and millions these days. Many times he received unsolicited food donations only hours before they were needed to feed the children. Further strengthening his faith in God. Muller was in constant prayer that God touched the hearts of donors to make provisions for the orphans. For example, on one well-documented occasion, thanks was given for breakfast when all the children were sitting at the table, even though there was nothing to eat for breakfast. As they finished praying, the baker knocked on the door with sufficient bread to feed everyone. Then the milkman gave them plenty of fresh milk because his cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. That is faith. That's a man who prays believing God is going to answer. That is incredible. That's a man with unwavering conviction. God will provide. God is going to show up. Yep. I read somewhere recently this. Miracles don't just happen when they are needed, but when they are expected. Yeah. Expect it. What are you expecting this morning? I was expecting to have a great time. Man, we've had a fantastic time in worship. I think it's wonderful. Are you expecting the Holy Spirit to come upon you in a fresh way? The Holy Spirit to anoint you with even more gifting, more ability, more of His power, more of His love. So, I want to go on and say, so, kingdom people are gifted people. We can expect God to give us spiritual gifts. Now, use the gifts that God has given you. Don't leave it all neatly wrapped up. I can remember years ago going to my grand's house. Now my grand and granddad, they must have had money, because when you went to their front door, in the hallway was a carpet. Now in our house we didn't have a carpet in the hallway, it was polished marley tiles. And there's a bit of a carpet in the lounge which sort of met somewhere near where your feet were. But their house, it had fitted carpets, all the way, wonderful. Now, at my grand's house, you have to be really good. As a child, I was always told I had to be a good boy. Sit down and don't touch anything. And I used to look round and I would see this beautiful wooden cabinet with glass doors, and there'd be all things inside. There'd be plates, and then you'd open the drawer, this beautiful cutlery set. And some of these things you only got out on special occasions. You didn't use them every... These were for special occasions. That's what. Now, when Jill and I, we had a 25-year wedding anniversary, our family, I mean, I've got a lovely family, really gracious, and they are lovely. And they said, what would you like? Well, it was during that time we had, well, there's lots of stuff we'd have liked. But we thought, wouldn't it be nice to have a whole dinner service where plates matched, where cups matched, where you actually had saucers? So we had, a dinner service. And it is lovely. Now, at first we were very careful with it. Then Jill says one day, oh, we're not doing this. I've got this. I'm going to use it. And so, over the years, we continue to use it. And if you come round to our house, you may be one of the unfortunate ones to get a chipped plate. Because it's had a few knocks. A bit like you and me. We've had a few knocks. But let's not just put that gift to one side, just using it for certain times. Well, we're not going to use it now because actually I was hurt once. Alright, so get it out with the knocks, with the chips, with the bruises. Alright, let's continue. Use the gift that God has given us. Let's not leave it wrapped up. Now, there can be a few reasons why we don't use our gifts, or as I like to say, operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes we've allowed the world somehow and its values to creep into our lives. And some of the reasons can be, well, I do this on a Sunday, what are you going to be like tomorrow morning, is my question. Wonderful that you're here, wonderful Friday night, wonderful. Absolutely fantastic, no complaint whatsoever. What about tomorrow? What about Tuesday? What about Wednesday? When you're at home amongst the neighbours, what about when you're at work or college or school? What then? what are you going to be like then? I believe, or sometimes I ignore the Holy Spirit by blocking him out of my thinking, because I'm not expecting the Holy Spirit to use me on a Monday morning or a Wednesday afternoon. It's the wrong situation. So don't be like those precious gifts where we just get them out on certain occasions. Use them regularly. Use them daily. Be open, be willing and ready for God to use you. I'm drawn to a passage in Acts chapter 3. You remember Peter and John were on the way up to the temple. There must have been a prayer meeting or something. They're up to the temple. And on the way, they come across this beggar. He's begging because he's lame. And he comes across this beggar. And the beggar stops and asks him for money. Peter and John, they pray for him and he's healed. Now, they didn't say, "I ain't got time for this. Hey John, I'm on setup this morning. Let's move on. Slava will be across here soon. He'll know what to do. Let's wait for Slava to arrive. He's got the gift of healing. Let's wait for him. Come on, I'm too busy." No. Or, "Man, it's raining, it's pouring down in rain. I'm going to get soaked. I mean, what about my hair? I've just been the hairdressers. Goodness sake." No, they didn't. They stepped forward. You don't hear them saying either, "Hey, Pete, have you got the gift of healing?" "I don't know. I ain't. I don't know." No. What? They stepped out. They saw a need and they stepped out expecting God to heal. That's what. They expected the Holy Spirit to be with them. They expected God to answer them. There was a need there. They saw it. They prayed. They met their need. They saw God in action, and so did that man. He asked for money. He finds out about Jesus Christ. I mean, what a gift. Wonderful. So, let's use those gifts. Where shall I go now? Right. Oh, should be one more. Develop the gifts, all right? So that's it. Develop the use of those gifts through regular use. I would say ask the Holy Spirit to use you. Then expect the Holy Spirit to use you, to empower you and to give you the gift for that occasion. Now, it's brilliant because here in church, it's a safe environment. We can practice here. Dave is never going to turn around and say, "That was rubbish, wasn't it?" You're not going to hear him say such a thing. He's going to be encouraging you. Last week you get one word, not knowing any, just one word. And there's encouragement. Come on, this is a safe environment, folks. In church it's safe. In life group, it's safe. At prayer meetings, it's safe. Risk it, try it, step forward, do something you've never done. We aren't going to say, "Shut up, will you?" We're not going to do that. We're here to encourage one another, to encourage a gift which you have, which I haven't got. I'd love to, but I want to encourage that. You've got something I haven't got. You've definitely got something I haven't got. There's loads of stuff. Let's do this. I can remember another time in my family. It was Noel and Cole, love them dearly. Before they even became Christians, I felt God tell me to give them a word, to give them a scripture. So I shared with Jill, I said, "Jill, I'm going to be coming home later tomorrow because I feel I need to go around to Nolan Cole's house. I know Cole will be in, I just need to give her a word." She's not even a Christian, right? So I go around there quite trembling and I give this word, and afterwards I could breathe and go, "Oh, done it, now I can go home." It saved their marriage. The word saved their marriage. I've not done it before. So, God gives you... Step out. Step out. Don't be afraid. It's not your problem. Right? God will take those words and use them. God will speak through you. God will use you. Please, come and do that. You can use these things. Practice them at work. I know you can't preach, you're not allowed to. But I tell you what, you can look at someone and just sense there's something there. And you can be praying for your work colleagues. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for their marriages. Pray for their home life. Pray for their children. Pray for them. Pray for peace in the office or wherever you're working, at school, at college, wherever. Pray for them. Pray for your neighbours. We pray for our neighbours Friday night. Brilliant. I prayed even before. I could see the house opposite being built from the ground upwards. And I'm praying, God, I want to be a blessing to them. I want an opportunity of speaking to them. On the day they moved in, I just saw them. So I went over there, said hello. And I find out they're Christians. They go to the Catholic Church. We ended up praying for Mark and Tatiana and her sister on Friday night. But anyway, the opportunities. So pray. Look for opportunities to use your gifts. And I'll say also, I've got to move on. Appreciate the gifts God's given you. All right, let's thank God what he's done. Let's not be arrogant and proud. Oh, I've got the gift of healing. No, we don't do that. Just be thankful what God's done. All right, and the other thing is, you know the presence of God. You know the power of God because you've seen it in action yourself. You've prayed and they've been healed. You brought a word and it was relevant. There's a word of knowledge and it was relevant. You know that. It's not from someone else's testimony. It's because you've experienced it. That's what God wants to do. Experience him for yourself. You know you've encountered God. I'm going to finish with this. Bless others with the other gifts that God's given you. Selwyn Hughes says this. When God comes into a human life, he also seeks to get out. He comes into our heart so that he might pass through it in blessing others. So, kingdom people are gifted people. We can expect God to give us spiritual gifts. Let's use the gifts God's given us. Let's develop those gifts. Let's appreciate those gifts. And let's be a blessing to others. Amen.